The reading is taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Okay.
Hear the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the Gospel of Christ. Last week, Richard said that Jesus was not afraid to be political. In our Gospel passage today, he's being especially political. He came into the district of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples about who people thought he was. The fact that he was in Caesarea Philippi at the time is significant. Herod the Great's son, Philip, had established this city as the place where he'd rule the land in the east of Galilee from, whilst remaining a puppet of the Romans. Naming it after both the Roman Emperor Caesar, who was thought by the Romans to be God, and himself the king of the Jews in that area, made this city a place where Jesus would be in conflict with both the Romans and the Jewish ruling classes, were he to be recognised as the Messiah, the Son of God, and King of the Jews. So it's on his entry into this place that he asks his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And, "Who do you say that I am?" When Peter answers that he believes Jesus to be the Messiah, Jesus recognises that this revelation hasn't come from any human being. It is surely God-inspired. The reason for this is that anyone openly declaring Jesus as Messiah ran the risk of being imprisoned. It was dangerous talk, as it ran counter to both the idea of Caesar being God and Philip being king. Peter is showing signs of thinking in a way that turns the world upside down. It's this revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, which Jesus himself says he will build his church on in verse 18. The church of today is built on those people like Peter, who through the ages have believed this revelation to be true. The buildings of church are purely a symbol. They are a symbol of all those people who meet in that place and have done in the past and elsewhere, and who work together to do things, often radical political things, in the name of Christ. It's the people who make up the church. So Jesus was being political. Peter was beginning to get the message and be political. And the church, the people of God, are also called to be political. That's exactly what Paul was asking the Romans to be when he says in his letter in verse 2 of the first reading, "Do not be conformed to the ways of this world if you are to discern the will of God." Now, I don't see myself as political in a worldly sense, but I can see how not being conformed to this world does call me to be political if I'm to prioritise all those things that Christ taught his disciples about. Those things that Richard talked about last week: equality, compassion, and speaking about justice for the poor and the oppressed. This is political. Let's look at how this being political might affect us as the church and as individuals through our identities. If I was asked who I was, I might reply that my identity is multifaceted: a wife, a mother, a vicar. If I see these identities from a worldly approach, I become driven and bound by what's generally seen as success and what others expect. Politics, in a worldly sense, is geared towards everyone working to create success in the system. This binds us to a particular way of behaving. For example, as a mother, I want my children to do well, to meet someone that they'd like to settle down with, to remain healthy. And so I insist on hard work at school. I organise wholesome out-of-school activities and take them to meet up with friends. And all these things are good, but why am I encouraging them? Is it because that's what's expected by others, by the system? But I see it, and maybe my children also see it, as a bind? Or is it because I find my identity in Christ, and I can see that making the most of opportunities that come our way and following the inspiration of the Holy Spirit will enable me to show my children that they are loved by God and can be inspired by the Holy Spirit? There's a freedom in deciding to work hard at school as a result of responding to God's love and finding our calling in life through the experiences that we gain, rather than that's what's expected by the system. As a Christian, I can find my identity in being a mother, but combine this with my identity in Christ. I'm a mother who's freed up to love my children so that they know themselves as children of God with hope for the future, always on the lookout for opportunities. They're not bound by what others might think of them and what the system sees as success. And they too have the potential to be freed of the stresses of this world. Finding one's identity in Christ means that we know ourselves to be saved. Saved from being bound to particular ways of behaving through Christ's death and resurrection, which shows us how much God loves us. I wonder where you find your identity. If you were asked the question, "Who are you?" what would the response be? Is it tied up with the systems of this world? I'm a mother, a wife, a vicar, and I'm working for the success in worldly terms of my family and church? Or can you allow Christ to transform you, to see yourself as a child of God, saved by Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to be a servant of all? Jesus is political. He knows his identity as Messiah, and he's not afraid of acting to show how this identity operates in a way that's counter to the ways of this world, such as healing the Canaanite woman's daughter, as we saw last week. But Jesus also knows that shouting this message about his identity from the rooftops is a dangerous thing to do, and so he tells his disciples not to tell anyone. He doesn't allow himself to be bound by the ways of this world, but he also doesn't antagonize the ruling classes. If we are really part of the church, built on the revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, then we have to be political and prioritise the equality, compassion and justice that Richard was talking about last week. We might not be shouting about it from the rooftops, but we do need to free ourselves from the ways of this world and allow our identity in Christ to drive our behaviours in our own lives and in our community in a quietly political way. Amen.